So this Christmas season is really a time of the year that's quite noticeably different than any other season of the year. It's so noticeably different than any other holiday that we celebrate in this country, national holidays. Christmas has its own special decor and music. We talked about that last week when I introduced an article from Mathis. Christmas has its special decor and music. It's a season of the year that many people observe in one way or another. Even the skeptical person might turn their head and give a nod to Christmas once in a while. I keep thinking of my favorite show, The Christmas Carol with Scrooge. Anyways, the holidays in December are celebrated by many in the secular and non-religious circles that we are living in. That has its own decor and music and commonplace to hear things like, or see greetings like Happy Holidays or the Best of the Season. We have familiar songs that we all enjoy from the secular sort of circles. You know, songs like what? Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, White Christmas, and one of my old-time favorites, because I know why it was written, I Will Be Home for Christmas. For many others, Christians around the world, Christmas season is time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, that first advent, that first arrival. It comes with its own decor and music too, doesn't it? Celebrating the arrival of the Messiah, celebrating of the arrival of the little child who would grow in grace and wisdom and then one day go to the cross for the sin of the world. You know, and for centuries, Christians everywhere have celebrated in December this very reason why we have Christmas. And despite the obvious different approaches and differences at Christmas time here in Canada, here in our community, many of the traditions, celebrations, secular and Christian, are shared by many. It's the one time a year where people with varying understandings of God can actually mingle very happily together. It kind of just breaks down some of that anxiety. It just does that. We share music, we share decor, we share food, we share family traditions with people from all faith groups at Christmas time. That's just the reality of our culture today. And one of the most obvious traditions that we share, at least I believe we share at Christmas, across culture and faith, is gift giving. You know what this is, eh? It's a gift. Who doesn't like to receive a gift, especially at Christmas? My memories of a child at Christmas are with expectation and anticipation. And Christmas morning would come, and I would take my gift, and I would carefully unwrap it. Are you kidding me? I would rip it apart. I wasn't one of those guys that would take their time as a child, for sure. You know, carefully taking it apart was not my thing. My excitement and anticipation for Christmas morning has not changed. It's still there. It's changed in a different way, though. As a father, I used to watch my kids in the morning. Now they're all grown up. They still get excited. As a grandfather, I get a chance once in a while to see my grandkids open up presents at Christmas or before. It's really an excitement. But also my excitement around Christmas these days as I move on in my life is more in the giving than the receiving. More in the giving and the receiving of certain things. This gift here was given to me by a good friend. I met with him a couple of weeks ago. He does this, and I know what's in here. It's a book. He knows what I like, and he's bought me a book. And I'm not opening this thing until Christmas morning. It's the only gift I'm taking with me to my in-laws. And I'm going to open it up Christmas morning, and I'm going to enjoy my week reading this book, because that's going to be just a wonderful experience, I think. Now, this fella and I have been through a lot of things, ups and downs over the years. And I don't care where I live in this country, he's my friend, and he gives me a gift. The thing is about a gift, in order for it to be genuine, it requires three things. You heard me say this before at Christmas Eve service. It requires the giver, the gift, and the recipient. If I take this present with me, and Christmas morning, I don't open it, and I don't open it on Tuesday or the next day, I mean, or the next day, and I don't open it ever, then it's not a gift. If I let it sit in my office, in my bookshelf, I know it's a book, but I haven't opened it, by definition, that's not a gift. It requires a giver, requires a gift, requires a recipient. This morning is the third Sunday of Advent. We're on this journey for the last 3 Sundays, 3 weeks of expectation, of waiting, of anticipation. This morning, our focus is on the gift of God, born in the manger, Jesus. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, I'm a little nervous for some reason. I just pray, God, that you would just calm my heart, calm my spirit, as I just share a few words about this great, great gift that you've given us, your Son, Jesus Christ, at Christmas. That's our focus at Christmas. We just thank you so much, in Jesus' name. Who needs a little joy in their lives today? To borrow from the kids. Who in this world needs God's joy? What are our hopes for joy in the world today? How do we help others know that God gives joy? Those are great questions. And my prayer and hope for you is that in your preparation that you've had a time to focus on the gift that God has given us in Christ. I hope you've been able to carve out time in your busy schedules. I hope you've been able to do that, to read the biblical story of Christmas often. If you're going to read anything else this season, read Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 1 and 2, over and over and over again. Know it inside out. Do it prayerfully. That in your times of prayer, in your time of conversations with God, have been filled with peace. The peace of God. The peace in the midst of any of your circumstances that you're facing this day. That you have gratitude in your hearts. And praise in your hearts. And hope in your hearts that Christ gives you. That you have joy this Christmas season. That's my prayer and hope for you. And for me. I hope that you will share that joy with others. It's not ours to keep. It's ours to give. It's a gift that we give. I hope you do that especially for those in need. If you see them, share your joy this Christmas. Even for the skeptical one. Even for the Scrooges in your life. This morning we want to bring all that we've done, all that we've talked about, all that we've focused on concerning the birth of Jesus, and we want to bring it to this story of the gift of God, Jesus. We remember that for hundreds of years, the people of God waited and waited for fulfillment of God's promise to send a Messiah, a deliverer, a rescuer. And through all their circumstances, whatever it was, those faithful remnant waited with anticipation for the promised Messiah. Year after year, as the course of history played out, their voices sang out in expectancy. Turn to Psalm 98. In your Bible, if you have it with you, Psalm 98, and hear the voices of expectancy, of waiting. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. This is just so great next. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant songs with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horns. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. We hear in this psalm the hope of the Messiah. The hope of the Messiah. The waiting of the Messiah. In this ancient song, in this ancient book that we have here, the song that they sang, these faithful ones were full of praise. Even as the Messiah had yet to appear, had yet to come in the flesh, they rejoiced in the Lord's salvation. They rejoiced in it before he even came. They shout out, they sang out, shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy. Everything, all things, burst into jubilant songs. And even if the rivers could, they would clap their hands. They would clap their hands for joy. Joy was on their lips. Joy was in their hearts and mind. Whatever was happening around them, the good, the bad, or the ugly, their joy was secure in the Lord, for He has done marvelous things. Has He not done marvelous things? And time marches on, doesn't it? It marches on, marches on, and marches on. And then one year, the angel Gabriel, sent from God, went to see a priest named Zechariah. You'll find that in Luke chapter 1. And Zechariah was married to a woman called Elizabeth. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were both descendants of Aaron from the priestly tribe of Levi. And while Zechariah was on duty, serving in the temple, the angel Gabriel came to him. And to make a long story short, Elizabeth was not ever able to have a child. She would have a child one day. One who would prepare the way for the Lord. And after their child was born, Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, read the text. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them." Luke chapter 1. Amazing. Amazing. After all the years of waiting, Zechariah proclaimed that God had raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. Luke chapter 1. A horn of salvation. The word horn means strong king. Strong king. We could say He raised up a strong king of salvation. And a number of weeks later in Bethlehem, in the town of David, the little baby Jesus was born. The strong king. The strong king was born in a manger, folks. There was no fanfare. You've seen the kids talk about that. There was no fanfare. There was no soldiers marching row on row. There was no royal trumpets from the earth. It was just Joseph and Mary and a baby in a manger. There was not even any shepherds there at that time when the baby was born. There might have been some animals in there. There's probably a couple of chickens going around. Buck, 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 buck. Maybe. I don't know. There was some straw, apparently, some water in the trough, possibly. Maybe a bunch of feral cats running around. The King of Glory, folks. The one who created all things and sustains all things. Him. That one. Was a baby. A human. I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. Blows my mind. Joy was present, folks, as it always has been. We hear that from the angel who went to the shepherds just shortly after. "I bring you good news that will cause great sadness, great joy for all the people." Yes, it could be bad, it could be ugly, it could be good, it could be all things. But joy remains, for the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah, was born. And then the angels could not hold back anymore. Remember the story in Luke 1, Luke 2? "Glory to God in the highest heaven," they sang out. Well, we can go back again 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Isaiah reminds us, as we heard already today, that the people were walking in darkness. And those people walking in darkness, according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light had dawned. Think about that. Friends, waiting is worth it. Waiting is worth it. I think it was easier for them to wait. Maybe in their culture, in that time. Waiting is not a favorite thing of people today. Instant this and instant that and instant this and instant that, right? I mean, I'm not against technology. Don't get me wrong here. I use it all the time. I think it's a great tool that we have. Waiting is worth it. For the grace of God, according to Paul, when Paul wrote to Titus, we read in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God appeared that offers salvation to all people." The grace of God. Paul, pointing to that first advent here in this letter to Titus, the arrival of Jesus. The light that people have been waiting for had come, offering salvation to all people. A gift. It's a gift. I hope you get one of these underneath your tree. I hope you do. Salvation to all people. But also in this short letter, Paul is also pointing to the second arrival, the second advent, to when Jesus returns. The gift of salvation born in the first Christmas teaches us some things. Today, in our present world, that we can say no. That's a complete sentence. No. Say no to what? Titus tells us, ungodliness. We don't have to be ungodly. We don't have to follow the passions of the world, the latest this and the latest that. We can live self-controlled, the Bible tells us here. We can live upright and we can live godly lives in this present age. Titus 2:12. And as you and I wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ at the second arrival, as we do that, as we wait, as the faithfully waited and waited for the first advent, you and I can faithfully wait today. We can anticipate. We can expect. We can look forward, friends, to the arrival of Jesus Christ, the second advent. And he's not coming as a baby in the manger, folks. According to Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? When's he coming? At any moment. At any moment, folks, get that in your head. At any moment. Don't listen to the time, the people that give you time. Okay? But going on here, Paul reminds the Galatian church in his letter that when that first advent had come, the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive adoption into the family of God, to sonship. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. Paul pointing to the birth of Jesus Christ again, the first advent. And for those believers in Galatia, prior to the birth of Jesus, according to Paul, they were once subject to the basic principles of the world. Spiritual darkness reigned in their lives as it reigns in so many people's lives today. But that first advent, think about it, what Isaiah said, a light had come into the darkness. That first advent brought redemption, brought reconciliation through Jesus Christ. So they were able to, as all followers of Jesus are today, to call out to God, Abba, Father. And now, when the set time has fully come, folks, he will come again. You know, the kids asked this morning, and I ask you, how does God bring joy into the world? How does God bring joy into the world? How do you find joy this Christmas? I would say, look to the gift of God. Look to the gift of God at Christmas, Jesus Christ. Remember what I said? A gift to be genuine requires three things. Three elements: the giver, the gift, and the recipient. Giver, the gift, and the recipient. Well, God is the giver, who gave his only son to fill in the blank. To who? Fill in the blank. But if the gift is not open and received, well, by definition, it's not a gift. I just want to leave you with a verse from, we sang O Little Town of Bethlehem. If you ever do a little bit of research and the different songs that have been written over the history, this is pretty interesting. But a pretty interesting song. It was written by a pastor by the name of Philip Brooks, and the music was composed by a fellow by the name of Lewis Redner in 1885. And I just want to read this verse, and we'll be done. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. The gift of salvation at Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the great gift of Jesus Christ. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.